Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
The last topic for now in the complementary opposites is going to be called adults and children. And actually, my son Yaakov asked me tonight, he said, but how are those complementary? You're either an adult or you're a child. They're not within you, within each person. So I think we'll see, hopefully we'll develop the idea a little bit about, first of all, in general, there are elements in every person when you talk about spiritual realities that you can tap into stuff. In other words, well, that's a longer conversation, but the idea is vibrancy or vigor or zest and youthfulness and wisdom and experience and sagaciousness. So try to develop that idea a little bit tonight. The clothing of the Kohen Gadol has many symbols, lots and lots of symbols. And different Svarim and commentators write about how these things symbolize how Klal Yisrael is supposed to come together with the Kohen. We're represented by the things that he wears or the things that he does. So on the bottom of the me'il, which is the outer kind of covering garment of the Kohen Gadol, the hem includes what the Pasuk calls pa'amon verimon. Yeah, they have to make on it gold bells and gold pomegranates. And I searched for it tonight, but couldn't remember where I saw from, I believe, one of the early commentators, that the pa'amon verimon, bells and pomegranates, are opposites. Because a pomegranate is the symbol of something that's totally full. Like we say in Rosh Hashanah, we should be full of merits like the pomegranate, mm-hmm. Full of mitzvahs like the pomegranate. It's totally full. A bell is defined by the fact that it's hollow and it has something clanging to make noise. If it would be full, it wouldn't make any noise. So somebody writes, I forgot who it was, that rimonim, the pomegranates, are symbols of elders. And the bells are symbols of young people. That one is full and one is relatively empty. One doesn't make noise and the other one does make noise. There's a lot of kinetic energy in the bell. And the fact that they're both on the hem of the Kohen Gadol symbolizes the importance of both, not a victory of one over the other. The importance of both. This element of wisdom and this element of youthfulness that he's supposed to represent all of Klal Yisrael when he goes into the Holy of Holies doing his work. Wherever he goes in the holy places doing his work. There's a prayer authored by the Shlah HaKadosh, one of the great Kabbalists from several hundred years ago, Rabbi Yeshayahu Horowitz, that's commonly said by parents in various scenarios, but you may be familiar with it from many people say it on Erev Rosh Chodesh, just before Shavuos, Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And in the Shlach HaKadosh's prayer, he says, "Yir Hashem, you created the world." I'm very much paraphrasing and skipping. "And you created a world so that the knowledge of you should be known through your holy Torah. The Torah and Klal Yisrael were the purpose of creating the world. And in order to fulfill the world and fulfill the Torah, you commanded us two commandments. You commanded us, pru urvu, be fruitful and multiply. and you commanded us, teach your sons Torah. And the purpose of both of those is one purpose, that the world was not created to be empty and to be wild, but rather to be settled. The world was created for your honor, and so that we and our children, our children's children, and all of the nation of Israel will be knowledgeable of you and knowledgeable of your Torah. And the Shlomo's prayer goes on to pray for your own children and your progeny after them, all your children and grandchildren. So we don't need the Shlomo's prayer, but he's poignant about it. We don't need the Shlomo's prayer to illustrate that the Jewish people are commanded to fill the world with children. We know that. It's the first mitzvah. And to teach the children Torah. And so there's a tremendous preoccupation among the Jewish people to both bear generations and give them proper Torah education. And that allows us, or ensures for us, the future of the Jewish people and the continuity from Har Sinai until Mashiach. You need adults there and you need children there. They're both on the hem of the Kohen Gadol. You need them both. There's a statement by the Talmud, it's in a Braisa in Kiddushin. Kiddushin 29, Chavtes. A father is obligated regarding his son to give him a bris, to redeem him if he's a firstborn, to teach him Torah, to marry him, find him a wife, to teach him a craft. A lot of people are familiar with this, and some say to teach him to swim. Mm-hmm. And Rabbi Yehuda says, anyone who doesn't teach his son a craft teaches him, I'm paraphrasing because the Gemara goes on to paraphrase it, is as if he's teaching him to steal. You don't teach him a craft. So for our purpose tonight, the point is that the father is obligated to teach his son Torah. It's derived from a verse, and you shall teach it to your children. I'm on the Gemara now on 29b, Chavtes Amud Beis. But where a person's father didn't teach him Torah, he has to teach himself. And it goes on to make various derivations from the verses. But then, it says as follows. And if we were in a big crowd, and we didn't introduce this Gemara at all, I would ask this question for a survey. But you know where it's going to go, I think. The rabbis taught us, if he must learn, and his son must learn, who should learn? Who does he pay for? One has to earn money so that the other one can learn. Say it's him and it's his son. Gemara says, who kodem livno? He comes before his son. He has to learn, not his son. Shocker. Rabbi Yehuda says, and this is the halacha, if his son is particularly skilled, smart, sharp, and his learning will be fulfilled in his hand, then the son comes before the father. And the Talmud tells a story about a proof to this. This, by the way, is not just the Gemara. The Rambam rules like this in the Laws of Talmud Torah, first parak, and the Shulchan Aruch rules on this in Yoredeya in Resh Mem Hei 245. The halacha is that if you and your son are equal in terms of sharpness, the father learns and the son works. It's probably not talking about very small children who will be total ignoramuses if you don't give them some education. But principally, it's talking about people who can both... There's not enough money to support me and him. That's what Rashi says. But if he sees the son will be sharper, then he should be the one to work and let the son learn. Fascinating thing. What that tells you is something that most people wouldn't stop and think about themselves at all. What about if it's me to learn and it's somebody else to learn? You have to learn. You put yourself first. It's sort of the spiritual complement to what we spoke about last time in the physical, about you only have one water bottle. Mm-hmm. Okay? You only have one. You only have one opportunity for somebody to learn. The Father comes first. If the Son is very skilled, then we let the Son go first. But if somebody else is very skilled, that's not my problem. So you see an interwoven relationship, but you cannot deny the basic position of the Gemara, that I come before my Son. And that the study of Torah, and by extension we could say, which is totally obvious, all religious practice is not designed for a child to carry out and a father to dote. Father sees, it's so beautiful. Came home from school with the project. So beautiful. That's my relationship with Yiddishkeit. It's obviously not the case, and we'll develop that a little bit more. We're talking about the father goes before the son. Fascinating. That means that a father is obligated to approach the study of Torah. I'm obligated, just like my boy is obligated. Okay, there are conditions under which he'd go first, but I'm obligated. Yiddishkeit is not about per se, even though we said both are on the hem, and the Shlach says you have to fill the world with children, and you have to, which the Torah says, and you have to teach them Torah, so that Hashem's Torah is known for the continuity of the Jewish people. But while you are alive and he is alive, Judaism is not relevant to parents simply to be givers to their children of Judaism, which we all know. It's relevant to them. I'm going to tell you a story. I feel like I told this story very recently. Maybe I told it here. I don't think so. My wife's grandfather, Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, he should live and be well, for almost 40 years was the rabbi in Atlanta. For the last 25 years, he's been retired, whatever that means for a rabbi who has, well over 100 families from his shul that live in Israel and call on him all the time. But he's retired. It probably means that he doesn't get paid compared to what, he does the same job but doesn't get paid. And so during the years that he lived in Atlanta, his brother, who is now the Rosh Hashiva in Baltimore, Rabbi Aaron Feldman, lived in Israel. So one time the Atlanta brother, this is many years ago already, the Atlanta brother was visiting the Israel brother. Now they've switched places, you understand. So, but the Atlanta brother was visiting the Israel brother when they encountered a friend of Rabbi Aaron Feldman, the one who is local to Israel. And the friend said when he met Rabbi Aaron Feldman, to this day has a very long beard, but at a younger age already had a very long white beard, and Zadie had dark hair. So the man said to Zadie Feldman, "I'm very fond of your older brother." Now indeed, Zadie is 4 years older than the Rosh Hashiva, Rav Aaron. So Zadie said, "Thank you for the compliment, but actually I'm the older brother." They take leave of each other. Whatever time passes, Zadie's back in America, and Rav Aaron sees this man again. He runs into the man again. The man says, "Oh, it's good to see you. I really enjoyed coming to meet your brother. I saw your brother, but he confused me. And I've been confused since I saw you. What did he mean, thank you for the compliment?" So Rav Aaron, the Rosh Hashiva, that current Rosh Hashiva, said, "Oh, in America they think it's a compliment to look young." Meaning the guy walking the streets of Yerushalayim, who was a Yerushalmi, he didn't even know what he was talking about. Why is it a compliment to look young? It should be a compliment to be old, to be a sage. The whole Torah. I mean, I actually weighed whether to give this talk at all, because the totality of the Torah's message places grown-ups and elders in a higher space than children. Everything. Pasuk says, "Mipnei seva takum v'hadarta pnei zaken." In front of an elderly person, you should stand up, and you should give honor to the face of a also the word elderly. But from there, we derive both the halachas. That you have to stand in front of an old person, any old person who's above the age of 70, who walks near you, you have to stand up for him. And and
that's in the Gemara.
Yeah.
When he turned 70, he said, "Now everybody's going to have to stand up."
Nobody did.
But nobody
yeah.
did.
Okay. So also it says that you have to stand up in the front of Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so you routinely see at weddings, everyone stands when the groom comes in. They stand, many stand when the bride comes in, which is not necessarily actually sort of grounded in halacha, but whatever, it doesn't matter. And the grandparents walk down the aisle and nobody stands. Not even the people who are walking, they're walking within the four cubits of which are obligated halachically to stand.
I was just reading about that in Pesach Kron, one of his stories.
Yeah.
He was talking about that.
Parents, you're obligated to stand for your parents. Unless they're moichel, unless they forgive it. So most parents forgive it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's implicit. But whether you forgive it or you don't forgive it, the whole thrust of Torah is that elders come first. Like every page of the Torah. I mean, it's so basic to Torah philosophy that it's hard to make any other argument. We once hosted, when I was in the director of the Kollel, we hosted many times actually, but one year that we hosted high holiday program in a hotel and we had meals there for Rosh Hashanah, at our table, my family's table, we also sat together with three very old people. One of the men there was like in his mid-90s. And we were the last ones served. So I said to the maitre d', can you serve our table first, please, and make sure that these elderly people are taken care of? And they told me, in the hotel policy is to serve tables with children first. Mm. Because the children get restless, whatever it is. Mm. So I said, I don't want to be difficult, but if the hotel policy is do what the customer wants, then while we're here over the next 2 days, serve the elderly people first. Serve the seniors first. You know, he said, okay, fine, no problem. So, but this is obvious. The Gemara says in Masechta Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis 31b, that, and it's kind of a reference to King Saul, it says, if young people tell you to build, and old people tell you to tear down. Tear down. Because the tearing of old people, of older people, is building. And the building of younger people is tearing down. Again, it's just, it's theme after theme after theme that we're obligated to see the wisdom of the elders as primary. But the idea that you have to teach your children is very, very central to not only the lives of people who are raising small children. It's central to their identity. Their identity becomes, certainly in many circles, their Jewish identity becomes completely defined by their connection to being a parent. Being a preschool parent, being an elementary school parent. There's a conflict that goes on in every single house, unless the children are angels. There's a conflict that goes on in every house when you have little children, which is the conflict of when do you bring the children to shul? Do you bring very little children to shul? A little bit bigger? I'm not going to answer that question. Okay? And I don't think there is a one-size-fits-all answer to that question.
Yeah. I think it depends on the children.
No, it's very dependent on the children. But sometimes you see parents that until I had children, I actually came to shul to daven. Then once I have children, I'm not knocking anybody, you know, there's a newborn at home, I've got to take care of the family, nothing like that. But a sort of philosophical shift to, I come to shul at the time that my children can come with me. Davening may start at 8:30, but my son's not ready to go, my daughter's not ready to go until 9:45. That's a conflict. That's a moment of conflict. So how do we resolve that moment of conflict? Listen to Pirkei Avos. It's not that well known a Mishnah. A lot of the Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos are very well known. I don't think this one is one of them. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Gimel, chapter 3, Mishnah Yud, number 10, he used to say, and the he here is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, anyone who people are find pleasant, Hashem also finds pleasant. And anyone who people are not satisfied with, the satisfaction of God is not with that person either. Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinis said, sleep of the morning and wine of the afternoon and discussions of children and sitting in shuls that are occupied by unlettered people remove a person from the world. Five things that he concludes with, remove a person from the world. Harsh? A little harsh. By the way, it's very harsh because it's exactly the same language that later is said, jealousy, lust, and running after prestige, remove a person from the world. Same exact language. Motzien es adam min ha'olam. So what are those five things stated by Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinis? Sleep of the morning. Says Rabbeinu Yonah in his epic commentary, sleep of the morning makes a person negate davening on time. Okay, we could call that the snooze button. Wine of the afternoon negates the study of Torah and brings a person, says Rabbeinu Yonah, and brings a person to transgression. For a moment, I'm going to skip this phrase, Sichas Hayiladim, discussions of children. Sitting in shuls. Did I say there were five things? Maybe there were just four things. There were four things, sorry. Sitting in shuls, occupied by unlettered people, ignoramuses, says, there are many bad things that come from being in the gathering place of these people. It's not talking about today's people who haven't ever had a chance to learn. It's a more egregious space. Scoffers, one might say. What does it mean, discussions of children? Sichas hayiladim. Says Rabbeinu Yonah. She'oso ha-sha'ashua mosheich libos b'nei adam al yedei ahavasam es hana'arim. Because of that involvement pulls the hearts of people out of their love for young people, for children. V'nimtzeis ha-Torah mis-batalas. And the conclusion, the end is that the Torah is negated. This is how I understand Rabbeinu Yonah. It's natural to love children and it's good to love children. But to prioritize hanging with the kids over the grown-up responsibilities of Torah life ends up that the grown-up responsibilities of Torah life are neglected. And how come that says it takes a person out of the world? Well, it does take a person. It literally takes a person out of the world because it makes a person's own purpose almost worthless. In other words, it's axiomatic. It is so clear as day that a person cannot be in this world only in order to give what he has to the next generation. Because if the whole purpose of Judaism is to keep Judaism alive and doesn't have any enriching purpose in my own grown-up life, then just simple philosophy. If the whole purpose is to keep it alive, then just get rid of it and get on with something. In other words, it can't be that the whole purpose of a non-enriching thing is to say to people, you must keep this worthless endeavor alive. It must have intrinsic worth, or what's the point of keeping it alive? And subconsciously, sometimes parents are guilty of basically sending that message, that this does not enrich my life at all, but
You got to do it.
You got to do it anyway. Right? It's of no meaning or sacrificial importance for me. But you can't play hockey Tuesday nights because you've got Hebrew school. I mean, it's not only not a smart formula, but it doesn't make any sense. It must be that the Torah is here for the enriching of grown-up lives. Because what is the purpose of people who don't have children? It can't be only to serve people who have children so that they can serve their kids. What is the purpose of the stages of our life when we're not actively raising children, either before or after? What a heavy statement. Sichas yeladim motzinas armin ha'olam. Hanging with the kids, waiting for Johnny to be ready while Sosman Kriyashma passes is not the can't be the purpose of our endeavor here. It just can't be. But as we said already, and it's not even effective. In other words, we want to educate children. We want to follow the Shlaz of message. We want to fill the world with children and give them Torah. How do you give a child Torah? So the Rebbe of Piasetzna in the Sefer Chovas HaTalmidim says at the beginning that the definition of education, of chinuch. So let me take a step back. Rashi says in Chumash that chinuch is a word that is talking about the beginning. So the Chovas HaTalmidim is bothered. He says, what beginning is it talking about? Is it talking about the beginning like the beginning of a book? Or the beginning of davening? We don't use the word chinuch for that. There's a different Hebrew word for that. It's hatchala, haschala. So he explains that it's a beginning means it's an inauguration of something for its purpose, for its ongoing enduring purpose. Like Chanukah Sabayis, when you inaugurate your home, which is based on inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash. We begin to use the Mizbeach for its purpose. Chinuch of children is to enter a child into the practices and studies that are his purpose or her purpose. It's the beginning, it's the inauguration into the ongoing acquisition of knowledge, service of Hashem, performance of the mitzvos. That doesn't end in 8th grade, doesn't end in 12th grade. It's forever. That's what chinuch is. Your purpose is this. Oh, well, that's the purpose that we all share. The purpose that we all share may be defined differently for different people, different roles, different whatever. The purpose that we all share is to do the best we can to connect to Hashem. This, the Nesivos Shalom says in many places, that uvo sidbak, the mitzvah of the cleaving to Hashem, is the purpose of all the other mitzvahs. To cleave to Hashem. So one has these means and one has those means. One is a greater scholar, one is a lesser scholar, one has the responsibilities of a father, one doesn't, one has responsibilities of a mother, one doesn't, whatever it is. But the whole deal is a very grown-up thing. Every one of the Yamim Tovim is a grown-up celebration that also includes the children. Is the purpose of Megillah reading, when you gather for Megillah reading, is the purpose to entertain the children? It can be a purpose, but the primary purpose is for the grown-ups to fulfill their obligation to hear the Megillah. That's what chinuch is. And the only way that chinuch is effective, and this is written like in every single book about education, certainly Jewish education, but here's just one example of it. In the book Planting and Building by Rabbi Shlomo Wolbe. In chapter 2 called Fundamental Chinuch Principles, the very first thing is personal example. Parents' greatest responsibility is to serve as an example. Every child naturally wants to identify with his parents and imitate them. If their personal example is good, and if their relationship between the parents and the child is healthy, a warm and heartfelt relationship, then a boy will naturally want to be like his father, and a girl will naturally want to be like her mother. One of the most important essentials of chinuch is personal example. If parents demand of their children things that they themselves aren't doing, they risk corrupting the children entirely. Now, according to everything I said so far, though, you might argue that who needs youth? We don't need them at all. Now, that's entirely untrue. Of course, you know the joke. Everyone knows the joke that it's too bad youth is wasted on the young, right? But the energy and vigor of a Torah community is heavily enriched by young people, by seeing the future. There are young people who are not very young, and there are old people who are still very young. There are young people who are filled with energy but filled with wisdom, filled with energy but filled with drive, filled with energy but filled with responsibility. Those people are a tremendous asset to the Jewish community. And the message of the me'il, of the hem of the outer garment of the Kohen Gadol is pa'amon v'rimon. We want the noisy and we want the filled, and they complement one another, and they bring about the sort of harmony of whole lives. And as a Jewish world community, you should know we have never in our history had much so separate generations as we have now. In other words, in big communities, there are all kinds of shuls, and very often that shul is old and that shul is young. You know, and we start a new shul because we want our own shul. We have to do better as a world community for the elders to take advantage of the vitality of the youth, and the youth to take advantage of the wisdom of the elders, and to feel, yes, it's an upward-looking religion. And the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says that by respecting your parents in this world, you learn to respect Hashem. That by accepting authority of grown-ups, children learn to live lives of heeding an authority called Hashem. And that's communal authority too. Teachers, heads of congregations, and so on. So that there's authority. That's good. We need human representation of authority so that we learn to do what Hashem says. But at the same time, there's tremendous power of keeping things alive. Now, what I'm really saying is the purpose of life can't be just to educate children. It's got to be to educate oneself. The father comes before the son, after all. But if the son is sharp, then the son comes before the father. That means that they are intertwined, and the father has to invest in his son. And we know that a father has to teach his son Torah. And by the way, that's not only when the child is a child, even when the child is an adult. The father still has a mitzvah to teach his son Torah. So you have this intermingling of the purpose of life is this. You have to educate children. The most effective way and the only effective way of educating children is by personal example. So you go back to, then I have to be a personal example to my son. If I'm not learning, he's not going to be learning. If I'm not waking up to daven, he's not going to wake up to daven. If I'm not dressing a certain proper modest way, she's not going to. Whatever it may be, doesn't matter. Every application, if I'm not exhilarated by mitzvahs, what am I expect my kids to be exhilarated by mitzvahs? It's impossible. So you have this intermingling. It's almost like the great example of it is the father is first, and yet the son is first sometimes. And it's all on the coat of the Kohen Gadol. It's all there together. So I wanna conclude this sort of formal portion. I can take questions if you want. But I conclude this with an article. I meant to look this guy up. I don't know anything about him. Somebody sent me this article. Okay, the guy's name is John Rosemond, writing for the Naples Daily News. Okay, presumably in Florida because it's in English. Okay, writing on January 1st, 2017, just very recently. Listen to what Rosemond writes. Rather, in the byline of the bottom, or in the description of the bottom, they say he's a family psychologist with his own website, johnrosemond.com. I don't know if he's a great man or not, but I found a lot of wisdom in this article. He writes as follows. I recently asked a married couple who have 3 kids, none of whom are yet teens, who are the most important people in your family? Like all good moms and dads of this brave new millennium, they answered, our kids. Why, I asked. What is it about your kids that gives them that status? And like all good moms and dads of this brave new millennium, they couldn't answer the question other than to fumble with appeals to emotion. So I answered the question for them. There is no reasonable thing that gives your kids that status. I went on to point out that many, if not most, of the problems they're having with their kids, typical stuff these days, are the result of treating their children as if they, their marriage, and their family exist because of the kids, when it is in fact the other way around. Their kids exist because of them and their marriage, and thrive because they have created a stable family. Furthermore, without them, their kids wouldn't eat well, have the nice clothing they wear, live in the nice home in which they live, enjoy the great vacations they enjoy, and so on. Instead of lives that are relatively carefree, despite the drama to the contrary that they occasionally manufacture, their children would be living lives full of worry and want. This issue is really the heart of the matter. People my age know, and this guy Rosemond looks like he's in his 60s probably, maybe 50s. People my age, he's probably in his 60s, because if his picture looks like he's in his 50s, it's probably from 8 years ago. Okay, people my age know it's the heart of the matter because when we were kids, it was clear to us that our parents were the most important people in our families. And that right there is why we respected our parents, and that right there is why we looked up to adults in general. Yes, Virginia, once upon a time in the United States of America, children were second-class citizens to their advantage. It was also clear to us, I speak, of course, in general terms, albeit accurate, that our parents' marriages were more important to them than their relationships with us. Therefore, we did not sleep in their beds or interrupt their conversations. The family meal at home was regarded as more important than after-school activities. Mom and Dad talked a lot more with one another than they talked with you. For lack of pedestals, we emancipated earlier and much more successfully than have children since. The most important person in an army is the general. The most important person in a corporation is the CEO. The most important person in a classroom is the teacher, and the most important person in a family are the parents. The most important thing about children is the need to prepare them properly for responsible citizenship. The primary objective should not be raising a straight-A student who excels at three sports, earns a spot on the Olympic swim team, goes to an A-list university, and becomes a prominent brain surgeon. The primary objective is to raise children such that community and culture are strengthened. Our child is the most important person in our family, end quote, is the first step toward raising a child who feels entitled. You don't want that. Unbeknownst to your child, he doesn't need that, and neither does America.
Very good.
So here's my argument from a Torah perspective and from Dr. Rosemond's perspective. Children are really best described and best served when they're understood to be adults in training. The goal, Hashem should bless us all, is to be highly functioning adults. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Yismach Moshe Mazal Ki Eved Ne'eman Karasla. You called him a loyal servant, not because of how cute he was when he brought home the project when he was four. He became a loyal servant to Hashem, an Eved Ne'eman. Moshe Avram Avinu was called Avram Ohavi, my beloved one, not because of what he did when he was three, because in fact what he did when he was three was way off the path. He was called Avram, my beloved, because of what he did when he was 75 and 99 and 137 and everywhere in between. Kalev ben Yefuna is called Avdi Kalev, not because of what he did when he was a small child, but because of how he was raised by hopefully good people to become Kalev ben Yefuna, one of the spies who had the strength to not listen to the other bad spies. He's my servant. He bucked the what they wanted from him. So that's what children are. They're adults in training. We're enriched by them. But our job is to enrich them. Our job is not to enrich them by a philosophy that points down that they're the most important. No, they are served when they understand that we are. And that's why, for example, it's a parent's responsibility big time this time of year to prepare for the Seder. Preparation for the Seder is not in, I have to prepare to listen to my children tell me the Divrei Torah they learned. You have to give over, because whether you're 23 years older than your children or 45 years older than your children, or your children are 45 or whatever, in a society that Mr. Rosemond argues is a better society, and I think, forget better or worse, but is a Torah true idea. In that society where Zadie Feldman's guy he meets doesn't even know what you're talking about when you say thank you for the compliment, in that society, everyone benefits. Everyone grows because dad looks at the kid who's not ready to go to shul and says to him, I guess you can't come to shul right now because I got to be there for brachas. I got to be there for kaddish. I got to be there for sosman kriyishma. And when I'm there, by the way, I'm there to daven to Hashem. I'm going to be loving and respectful and want you to feel warm and comfortable, and I'll give you candy and I'll point to where we are in the book or in your book, and I'll even lie to you what page you're on because you can't read yet. Whatever it is, I'm there for you. But I, the one who's serving Hashem, am there for you and setting an example for you. And then you get the mixture of vitality and wisdom is found in the wise giving to the children, so that the children see in the wise, wow, that's wise, I'm going to train to be like that guy. And then all the good comes from there.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.